You may be seated. Welcome today. I am so glad you're here. And there is a young lady here that is the reason she's the one that kind of wrote the sermon today. And she's okay. This kid's kind of okay being in the background. She just kind of does life and does it well and doesn't self-promote. And but she's very talented as a writer. And she wrote a story here a while back. And you know when your kids do something and you see it and you go, oh, that's nice, honey. But then you see something and you go, why? You're a lot more in depth than I thought you were. You've got some. There's some meat and potatoes to you, kid. And I know when y'all have kids, you see them one way, but then you see your kids do what they're really good at, and then you go, "Whoa, I didn't see that." And that happened. And I'll read you a story. This is written by a young lady. She was, I think, in seventh grade when she wrote this. I hold my breath as I'm pulled under again. The water swallows me and then spits me out as if I do not matter. I'm cooled by the water and I shiver and freeze. Once again, I go under. It never ends. I never leave. Forced to go through this. Remember that line. But I was put here for a reason. Day by day, I work in the water. I work in the winds and waves of this life. I gather everything I can find. I build and create. Remember that. When I am done, I look at my boat I have built. Once I am on board, there are no waves pulling me down, no cold, freezing water. The boat is comfortable home. I never want to leave. Why would I? So I stay there. I am happy, pleased, in fact. Sitting there, I hear a sound I know too well. The sound of being trapped in the waves. Curious, I paddle towards the sound. To my surprise, I find someone else, someone who was just like me, stuck. She calls for my help. I think back to when I was like her, trapped, how I felt. I reach out to help her, then I pull back. If I help her, I will lose part of my boat. It will no longer be my boat, but our boat. So I just sit there. Every day I watch her. In my heart, I know I should help. I know I should help her. In my mind, I shouldn't. Finally, I give in. I reach out to her and pull her in. She thanks me, loves me. I made her happy. I did this. No longer am I just happy, but now I'm filled with joy. Who knew what I could do with my boat? If I can save one person, why not more? That day I left with her. Together, our goal was and is to save, to reach out our hands and bring them into our boat. I'm no longer drowning but swimming. I hold my breath, not because I am under the water, but flying over it. Me, the girl, and the boat. By Allie Jackson. Now, I don't know, when my seventh grader brings this home, or my wife or somebody goes, hey, I want you to see this, and I read it, and I go, well, that's a little deeper than I'm used to reading. She's got some gray matter. There's some things firing up here that the little bigger than what I'm giving her credit for. But then I started thinking about this story. I've read this story, I don't know how many times I've read this story. And I started breaking it down. Not like a dance move. I started breaking the story down. There's a part of the story that says, I am forced to go through this. I'm forced to go through this. What is this? This, the way it sounds to me, is life. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2, first part of 2, says this. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And Pastor Dennis talks about when you go on the gravestones and you have the two dates and then there's that little dash in between the two dates. That little dash is the important part. The little dash is the important part on that gravestone. Because let me tell you something. We are born and we must die. It is a fact. We don't know the number of our days and we don't know all that our life will consist of. But one thing is for certain, we will live life. We are forced to live it. We really have no choice in that. You really didn't have a choice that you were going to be born. How you live that life is totally the only thing in your control. I didn't get my number pulled. Like when my mom, she didn't come and say, hey, Kevin, do you want me to give birth to you? I didn't have any say in that whatsoever. And you didn't either. You came into this world. You have to live it. You have to be here. The one thing we have control over is how we live it, and how we live it includes whether or not we want to add God to that life. It's our choice. We can forget Him, we can walk away from Him, we can do whatever we want to, we can shun Him, but one thing is for certain, we have the choice. He doesn't force Himself on us. He doesn't come and shake us and go, you know what? You're going to accept me as your Savior or else. Just like the girl in the story, we're all going to be pulled and moved by this world. But do we let it consume us or do we work to get out? I talked to my wife the other day, and I'm not kidding you, and if you pay attention to this, it kind of startles you. I want you to start paying attention to people, and I want you to start looking around at the number of people that just do life. They leave no footprint anywhere. They do nothing. They just live. They get up, they go to work, they may be the best worker in their factory, they may be the best husband at home, but you never see anything. They're just there. They just exist. They just exist. They never take a risk. They never become involved. They never make an impact. they literally just do life. They are more than happy to just be moved by their world and ride the waves of insanity instead of wanting more. Just like the girl in the boat. She's just in the water. She's just tossed all over the place. She's constantly pushed, and wherever the wind takes her and wherever the waves take her, and that's how people do life. They just kind of get on it, and they just go, and they just move, and there's no control. Next part. The part that says, I work in the winds and waves of this life. I work in the winds and waves of this life. And then it says, I build and create. I build and I create. Are you tired of the world being in charge? We've got to build something better. I can tell you, we went to where was those islands? The Bahamas? About 2 or 3 years ago. We went out on this deep sea diving deal thing. And I don't even know why they took us out there, you know? They got our money, so they'll take you anytime. I think there would have been sharks swirling out there. They'd have been, give me your money. We'll take you deep sea diving. Anyways, I'm not a great swimmer. I didn't know if you knew that or not. I don't even float good. You would think, like, guys that have, like, an inner tube, they'd be able to float. No, they don't. I don't. There's nothing about the water that I'm good at. Maybe a shower. You know, that's about it. And I'm really awful at swimming. Like, I could maybe save myself. Like, but if you go in, don't expect me to help you because it's just me giving my life up. I mean, I'm not going to do you any good. I'll throw you something, but I'm just not good, okay? So we go out, and the wind is choppy that day. So the ocean is like, just these, and I'm okay. I've never been seasick, I don't think, in my life. But we got on this ocean, out in the ocean, and Bev and the kids, like the kids were on a swim team, and Bev should have been in the Olympics, I think. And so they could just, like, they'll put like their snorkel on, and then they got their fins, and they can just go, and just, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. And it starts pushing me away from the boat, and I'm like, and I'm like, finally, I mean, I fight, and I get back to the boat, and I'm like, oh. Can we just leave? I mean, I was so done. I mean, hated it. Yes, Bev. Oh, she loved it. I literally, the point is, the wind and the waves, they owned me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I didn't have the skill. I didn't have what it took. I had to get in that boat. I mean, I had to get in the boat. We have a boat. We have a way that keeps us out of that storm. We have a way to keep from getting pounded by the waves. We have a way that the world doesn't control where we go and what we do. We have a way to do that. And it's not in our own strength. We will fail 100% of the time. I guarantee you, at the end of life, if we don't allow God to step into our lives, we will fight aimlessly against a world that will literally, in the end, will direct our future and it will direct our end. I promise you, we have a rescue vessel. And later on, we're going to talk about this vessel. People get in it, and then they just enjoy being in the boat. We have to first get in the boat, though. We ask God to come in, and He gives us life. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." God don't want us to just live this haphazard life that the world pushes us around and the world dictates what comes and goes in our life. He wants us to not just live life. He doesn't want us to just endure it. He doesn't want us to just kind of meander through it. He don't want us to sit in the rocking chair of ease and just flat out just go, you know what, I'm going to just try to stay uninvolved out of everybody else's stuff, and I'm just going to sit here and go, and I'm just going to get through life. No, He says He wants to give you life and give it to the full. If you think about a life that's to the full, think about a cup of water. The other day, Allie asked me to pour her a glass of tea. She goes, "Can I have a little bit of tea, Dad?" And I'm over there, and so being stupid that I am, I just fill the glass up almost to the top, and she's like having to scoot it across the table to get her. That's what life to the full looks like. It's not this little play in the baby pool junk. It is literally this life that's to the full where we can't contain anymore. God doesn't expect us to sit on our rear ends. He wants us working, building, creating, developing, and getting ourselves prepared. God did the hard part. Remember the whole cross, Golgotha, Easter story? That's the hard part. Jesus Christ already took care of that. So what is our part? We must show ourselves approved. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this. Do your best. Ooh, listen to this. Ooh, this is solid stuff. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Ooh, so that sounds to me like some of this stuff is on us, isn't it? It's not about God just giving us this big old pile of grace and He goes, "Hey, you got saved, welcome to heaven." No, He says, "I want you to prove yourself. I want you to work at it. I want you to make yourself better. I want you to try." I'm telling you, like when Wyatt and those guys play the instruments and stuff, I guarantee you, he didn't walk in one day and go, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to play the guitar, and I think I'm going to be really good at it." I bet the first time he strummed a guitar didn't sound real good. But I guarantee you, after about the 1,000,000th time that he strummed the old guitar, he could make that baby talk. That's what God wants us to do when it comes to living that life for Him. He wants us to get out of the waves, out of the junk, out of the surf. He wants us to get in His boat, and He goes, "Hey, now then, let's build this thing. Let's do this thing. Let's do life." Here's where it happens, though. There's a part of the story, and it says, the boat is comfortable. Home. I never want to leave. Man, go to your average church, and this church will be just like it. This place will be just like any other church. If we think average, if we do this, we'll be just like everybody else. I never want to leave the friendly confines of our little happy place. You know that lobby area, it's an awesome thing for us. Why? We love to see each other. We tell stories and we laugh and we cackle and it's fun. But you know when we start getting a bunch of new people in it, makes it feel a little weird. Well, it used to be kind of fun when we used to have fun out there. But now then we've started getting these people in, and all of a sudden it's a little awkward. I mean, I personally like talking to Chris. I really don't want to talk to that dude over there because I really don't know him. See, we get comfortable and we get in our little huddle and it feels so good. You know, before we were getting bashed around by Satan and the world and we're just getting hammered. So we get in our boat, we have God, we just get in his security net and we get in there going, this feels so good. And then we're like, oh, let's stay there. We get saved and then we never advance. I call it the typical Christian couch potato. I'm saved. I'm headed to heaven. I will punch my spiritual time card every week, but that is the extent of it. We find ourselves seeing the crazy world around us, but yet we won't reach out our hands to help. And then that one part of the story says, if I help her, oh, this is so good. If I help her, I will lose part of my boat. Do you hear that? Do you hear the humanism just dripping off of that? Do you hear how that all about me statement is just dripping? If I do that, then I'm not going to be... Oh, man, it's all about me. God, it's about you, but it's really about me. I don't want to lose my boat. What, God, you want me to have a squirrel derby? You want me to host it at my house? You want me to put up a 1,000-square-foot tent? You want me to... Really, God? You know what, God? I've just moved. I'm doing a remodel at my house. I really don't have time for this stuff. Go ask the Hankies if they thought they had time for this stuff. I will help her. If I help her, I will lose part of my boat. My boat, my life, my comfort, everything is all about me, my, and mine. And tell me where one time that Jesus ever made it about himself. When he came into the world, he didn't even have a place to be born. You know what? God could have, he could have set it up where he was born in the most lush and lavish temple in the world. They had him in the cow barn. Nothing Jesus ever did was about himself. It was always about glorifying the Father. The story goes on and it says, oh, I just love this part. Finally, I give in. Have you ever given in to God? God, I am so tired of fighting you on this. I'm just going to let you win. You're right. I'm wrong. Here you go. Finally, I give in. I reach out to her and pull her in. Listen to what happens. Listen to what happens when you pull people into your boat. This is what happened when we pulled, you know, Mandy and Val and Chauncey and their families into our boat. Listen, this is what happened. Listen. She thanks me, loves me. I made her happy. Hero Chauncey down here on Wednesday night, and he talks about how their family has been changed. Well, I just don't really see the growth that we need. You know, I wish we had more people.
people. Oh, my goodness. No longer, listen to what the girl in the boat said, no longer am I just happy. But now I'm filled with joy. Who knew? Who knew what I could do with my boat? God, I'm just too inadequate. I can't do those things. I'm not good at it. There's people that are way better. They have nicer boats than I do, God. Who knew what I could do with my boat? Oh boy, the moment we realize that we are powerful beyond measure, when we take God at His word, is the day life takes on true meaning. The day we take God at His word and realize that we literally are powerful beyond measure. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not about me anymore. It's about Him. It's His boat. If I can only get one person in my boat, fine. I will get the one person in my boat. He may give me the daggone a Carnival cruise line. I may be able to fill the thing. But it doesn't matter. He's in charge of my boat. He's in charge of me. I sacrifice me. I give Him all of me and I say, okay, God, here's me. I don't think I'm too hot and whippy. But He goes, you're the person I need for this job. Who knew what I could do with my boat? I'm superpowered by God. You want a Marvel character? Let God take over your life. And believe me, this God, remember that song we just sang about the power? The power that rose Jesus from the grave is a power that lives in me now. I'm superpowered by a true superhuman. We don't think about it that way. We keep on looking at ourselves and forgetting the God factor. Well, I'm not tall enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't do this right, and I don't do that right, and I have a bad accent, and I do. I'm superpowered by the King of Kings. I don't need your permission to do something for God. We keep forgetting the X factor, which is God. When He plugs into us, we have Him. Listen to this. We have God at our disposal. Have you ever heard it said like that? You have God at your disposal. Well, God, I'm really... Baloney! If God says, I want you to be a world changer, you can by George be a world changer. The last part, I hold my breath, not because I'm under the water, but because I'm flying over it. Me, the girl, and the boat. You know that moment on a roller coaster? I don't know if you like roller coasters. I like roller coasters. That moment on a roller coaster, all roller coasters seem to start off with that big giant hill. You know, they got to get up the head of steam. At that moment when you crest that hill and then gravity loses. Well, gravity wins and the roller coaster loses. And you just plummet. It feels like straight down. And everything from here comes up and you're like, and it's just like, that rush, that euphoria, the exhilaration. It's kind of like what happens when we say, God, it's yours. Use me. And then we start getting plugged in. And he starts putting us to work. We start working for him. We just surrender our lives every day, and we just get up and say, plug me in, God. Plug me in. And then we reach somebody, and we tell somebody about the love of Jesus. And that person, they fall in love with your Jesus. And then you're like this, you're giddy. You're so excited.
I hold my breath not because I'm under the water, but because I'm flying over it. Knowing that we make a difference, or have an impact, bless those around us. We kick status quo to the door. Oh, that feeling of euphoria, of knowing that your life is in the hands of the difference maker. Is there anything like it? See, there's not. And that is our natural desire. And when you see the world going to hell in a handbasket, it's because they don't have Christ in their life. And they spend every moment they have trying to fill that hole. Oh boy. And when you fill that hole with God, you're not just doing life. You go, you know what? I may not be holding evangelistic campaigns. I don't care. Are you caring about your neighbor across the street? How about the kid that's in the locker next to yours? Think about this. Every time you go to your locker and you open your locker door, if you're not on the end locker, if you're one of the lockers in the middle, you more than likely have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people every hour of every single day that you can tell about Jesus. They're a captive audience. They're lockers next to yours. My question is, when you go open your locker, does 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, do they even know that you know Jesus? Well, God, I'm just a little guy. I'm just a new believer. Who's winning? The waves and the world? Or is the superhuman you who is powered by God, are you just going to let these 5 people just go through an entire school year and never know that you love Jesus and he loves you and that Jesus can love them? How about the cubicles at work? How about the people that we rub shoulders with every single day? Win your world. I think Allie did a pretty good job writing this story. Not just because she's my kid, I think it's a pretty good story. Are you having an impact on your world? Only you know that. Are you having an impact? If you are, what kind of impact is it? It's one or the other. It's for God or for Satan, one of the two. You go, wait a minute, Kevin. There's two sides. Are you having an impact for God? If you're not, what's the holdup? Are you still just hanging out in the waves and the wind and the surf and getting smashed around? Have you gotten the boat and just got too comfortable? What's keeping you from the impact? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please. Is there anybody here that says, hey, Kevin, you know what? I need to be plugged in. I need some of that supernatural God thing flowing through me. I really need his power. I'm a Christian, but man, Kevin, I'm real comfortable and I'm just really good at just low profile stuff, man. I don't want anything to do with this stepping out of my boat and going and getting people. I'm not real good at bringing people into my boat. I'm not real good at any of that stuff. Or you can go, Kevin, you know what? I'm not even a Christian. Come and pray. Come and pray this morning.